Let's see your Bibles this morning.
Word.
Okay, let's try that one more time. On three. One, two, three. Word. Okay, let's see your pens. Pens. And let's see your lesson plan. Lesson plan. Get your lesson plan out, please, and turn to Isaiah 58. We're going to end up in Daniel 1, but so if you can put something in both those places, but we'll start in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for our Bibles. We thank you for the truth that's in our Bibles. We thank you that you teach us and you reveal truth to us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would open our eyes that we may see and understand what you are teaching us. And may open up our hearts that we may receive it to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. I was talking to my sister-in-law yesterday. And she has three children, her and my brother. And the youngest, his name is Jesse. He's about three. I think he's three, four. I haven't seen him since he was like 6 months old. And he wanted to talk to me. He's never talked to me before. He wanted to tell me something. So we hung up the phone, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him. So 5 minutes later, the phone rang, and he was crying because he didn't get to talk to Uncle Miles. So he goes, "Uncle Miles." I go, "What's up, Jesse?" "I got my stitches out." I have no idea. We haven't talked about his stitches. You know, kids just tell you stuff as though you've been involved in their whole life. So I go, "Really? What happened?" He goes, "I hit my head on the sink and the door. Bam, bam." So I'm thinking his brother, Mark, his older brother, Mark, who is a character. Dude is... My sister-in-law is blonde. She's white. So he refers to her as the white lady in the house. She's the only white person in the house. Everybody else is black. So he tells all the time. He's just out there. You know, he brings friends over and says, "That white lady in the kitchen, don't bother. That's my mom." Okay. I don't know where he learned this from, but he's just... I've probably only seen him five times in my life, but he is hilarious. So I'm thinking Mark took his brother's head and went bam, bam. So I go, "Jesse, did you get pushed? Did Mark?" He says, "No, I did it all by myself." He just hit his head on the sink and hit his head on the door. Well, we are continuing our push, pray until something happens, fast. And today I want to talk about what fasting is. And fasting is exactly what little Jesse did. You are going to inflict pain on yourself. Okay? I'll tell you again, I'll probably tell you to the last day we have this, I am not commanding you, forcing you, or telling you what to do. I know people still think that, but I'm not doing that. I am leading whoever wants to follow down this path. If you don't want to go, that's fine. I'm not telling you what to do. Because in the end, it's going to have to be something that you say, "God, I want to do this." It's very important for you to understand that. And we're going to give you some definitions of fasting that are not going to be what you've thought, but they're going to be accurate. Now, if you look in your lesson plan, if you could just open that up for a minute. It is critical that we are on the same page. Critical. It says number one is national or group fast in the Bible. Let's skip that and go to number two because we'll come back to that. Number two says, what is fasting? It says voluntarily abstaining from, write down, satisfying the flesh.
Woo. Woo, 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 woo.
It's not eating food. It's not eating food. It's not eating food. For a couple of reasons I say that. One, in the Bible, people fasted or abstained from washing themselves, anointing themselves with oil, or doing themselves up. They fasted from work. They fasted from sexual relations in marriage. We talked about that. We're going to see that. It doesn't mean that sexual relations in marriage is sin, because for the most part, it's not. But sometimes it can be. Woo! We'll talk about that in a few weeks, so I'll let you think about that. But for the most part, it shouldn't be. You have a freedom to do that, but it can be. It can be. It is voluntarily abstaining from satisfying the flesh. So we talked last week about frivolous spending. We talked this week is going to be caffeine and sugar, sweet stuff like that. Hey, what satisfies you? Don't do that. That's the point. Why? Because you are going to, matter of fact, look at the next line. It says, it is an act, and write this down, act of soul affliction. An act of soul affliction. You, when you fast, I don't care if you're eating or not. It is an act of, I am going to afflict my soul or humble myself or deny myself or lay my desires at the Lord's feet for Him to change my desires. That's what it is. You cannot eat for 40 days and never go on a fast. Ooh. You can say, oh God, I'm not eating, I'm not eating, I'm not eating. Oh, look at me, I'm not eating, I'm not eating. And not be fasting at all. Look at Isaiah 58. Let's read it. And the reason I want to focus on this today a little bit is because I know some of y'all are going to have excuses why you don't want to do it, and you may think your excuses are legitimate. And if God has led you not to do it, it's a different story. But at the same time, don't let the devil use reverse psychology on you by having these reasons that are not biblical for you not to do it. So what I want to do is just help you understand the biblical reasons why I feel we should do it. And then you don't argue with me. Just argue with what you believe the Bible says. Okay? Doesn't mean you have to do it now, but just do it in general. Okay? Look what it says in verse 1. It says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. And he's telling Isaiah, tell my people their sin, their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness, so they think, and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have they fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? Basically, what he's saying is, tell my people, look, they think that they want to seek me like they're righteous. They think that they've been praying or they're complaining that they've been praying, and yet I don't speak to them. They got this issue with me. And they're saying, we fasted, we afflicted our soul, and you never hear us, God. What's up with that? And some of y'all may be like that. I go to church, I read my Bible, I get up, I get dressed, and God doesn't ever do anything for me. What's up with that? What's up with that? Why can't God bless me? Well, you may have that complaint. I'm not going to fast. It's not going to do any good. You may have that complaint. That's exactly what he's saying to them. He says, you guys fast, and nothing happens, right? Watch this. Verse 3. Why have they fasted, they say, and you have not seen? God, we fasted, and you haven't seen us. Why have they afflicted our souls, and you have not taken notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. You know what he says? Oh, yeah, I saw that you didn't eat those hamburgers, but you over there eating all the other stuff. I saw that, oh, yeah, you didn't go to the ball game. Okay, but you watched it on video. I saw that. He says, all you're doing is swapping one for the other. You're not suffering. You're not afflicting your soul. You're not really making a sacrifice. You're playing games with me. Now, I didn't watch the Super Bowl. For me, that was something I wanted to do. It happened to be one of the best Super Bowls in a long time. Figures. Now, did I tape it? I'm not busted because I said it. I didn't tape it. I didn't tape it. I watched whatever replays they had on ESPN. I think I watched 5 minutes of the game the day I walked by TVs and saw a little bit. But I purposely said, I'm not going to watch the game. For me, that was only something I wanted to do. For me. You know why? Because I wanted to say, you know what? I'm going to give that up just for today. And I'm going to train myself to let stuff go. I didn't now go not watch it, but listen to it, right? Or not watch it, but tell someone who's in the next room, tell me what's going on. That's what he's saying. He said, oh, yeah, you fast, but just you find pleasure over here. Where's your real suffering? Why does God want us to suffer? He wants us to afflict our soul, because when we do what we want, we are satisfying what we want. God doesn't want us to satisfy what we want. He wants us to delight in what he wants. And those two things are opposite. So what he's saying to these people is like, yeah, you fast, but you don't really fast. Because some of y'all in here, and believe me, I'm guilty of this too. You cannot eat. It's no big deal to not eat anymore. I cannot eat 3-4 days, no big deal. Am I accomplishing anything? Probably not too much. Unless I take that time that I'm not eating to seek God. Because that is the point. The point is that not that you don't eat. The point is that not that you don't have sweets. The point is that you sacrifice that so you can spend time with God, so your flesh, your human desires, and not necessarily sinful. It's not sinful to eat. It's not a sinful desire to have a desire to eat. But your flesh that wants what it wants, you would learn that you don't need it anymore. You would train yourself. You can do without and learn to delight in God. That is the purpose. My son and I are playing. I'm training him to be a quarterback. So we go out. We throw football. We have drills we do. And different things that we're doing. And so we didn't get to go out for like 10 days or a week or something. And we went out the other day and he was throwing the ball all wobbly. And he was getting upset at himself. Man, because, we just do specific drills and he's throwing it all wobbly. And so we said, okay, let's back up. Let's go back to the drills we were doing in the beginning just to warm up a little more regimented. And so we did the original drills and he got his little spiral back, got his flow and motion back. And we're getting in the car and I said, what did you learn today? And I can't remember what he said, but it wasn't the point I want to tell you that I told him. I said, what you learned today is that you have to keep practicing over and over again so you would develop muscle memory. Muscle memory is where your muscles remember what to do. If you ever see any athlete do something automatic, quarterback come back, it's because he remembers all the little mechanical things that he got to do in an instant. He doesn't have to think about it. It's automatic. It's in his brain. It's in his body. And the only way you can do that is by repetition. When you memorize something, your brain, a physical imprint is actually placed on your brain when you form a memory, if you believe it or not. Take a picture, bam, bam, it's imprinted on your brain. And when you do something over and over and over again, you establish something called muscle memory where your body remembers it, where you don't even have to think about it. You don't have to think about it. I went out today, ran this morning, and I was doing all these drills I used to do, man, 15, 17 years ago. But I had done them for so long that it's like I don't even have to remember. It's just natural. What fasting does, it trains you. Where at any time God can say, you know what, I want you to go without. No problem, God. I want you to give that up today. No problem, God. I was watching Rambo 2 yesterday. Rambo was the man. Rambo First Blood. And then Rambo 2. And Rambo is trained where you could take Rambo and just drop him anywhere and he could survive. He could eat wood, He can drink water just by, breathing dew in the air, sleep in the ground,
stand in one spot for 5 days, stuff like that. How does Rambo do that? Rambo was trained with difficult training, painful training. I went down to the Navy SEAL base down here in San Diego. They have a tank. It's about, I want to say, 30 feet deep. It's deep. People have died in that tank. Swim to the bottom. That's how strict the training is. They swim down the bottom to get something, and they die. They drown. They push them to the limit. That's what this is. This is about, Lord, I'm going to afflict my soul. I'm not just not going to eat. Come on now. It's that's shallow to think it's just that. It's about the soul. Matter of fact, let's look at your handout. It says, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah fasted 40 days. You can write those three names in there. Jesus, Moses, and Elijah all fasted 40 days. And let's go back to Isaiah 58, verse 4. Look what he says. Verse 4. It says in verse 4, indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist in wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day, to make your voice heard on high. He says, you fast so you could fight, not so God, I can hear you. Verse 5, is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? It is to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes. Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Verse 6, and is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go, that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you would bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you would cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, that you would sacrifice even your own clothes? This is what I'm talking about. Verse 8, that your light shine shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then, when you do it that way, then you shall call and the Lord will answer you. You shall cry and he will hear you and say, here I am. That's when you fast. When you fast that way, when you fast with your heart, you humble yourself before me. Oh, yeah, don't eat food. Okay. But when you don't eat the food, humble yourself before me and pray, because that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. When you don't eat sweets, humble yourself before me and pray. This is about sacrifice. This is about giving stuff up that you want to do. Exactly. I don't want to do it because I don't want to. That's the whole point. Think of something you don't want to eat this week that's a treat. Caffeine. If like they give up coffee, I don't drink coffee. No big deal for me. No big deal for me. Give up sugar. Call Frappuccino, latte, Estee Lauder, whatever it is you drink, you know, all that stuff. I tried to get into the whole Starbucks thing, and it didn't work. I'm not a coffee guy, so I tried to drink the one with the brownies in it. What is it? Is it brownie Frappuccino? I'm looking at my wife. Brownie Frappuccino. And it was too sweet. My stomach, I said, I ain't into it. So for me to give that up, no big deal. But some other stuff, cookies, jelly sandwiches. I have Snickers bar. I have sweet tooth. So I'm saying, okay, for 7 days, no sweet tooth. You know what? When you give it up, God's going to show you something. Pick it out what it is. We're going to see, and we'll get to that in a minute, where you're going to have to decide what it is you're going to afflict your soul with. Why are you going to afflict your soul? So you can learn to trust God. Let me tell you something. You ever see an animal get sick? They don't eat. You ever see people mourn and they get depressed? They don't eat. In the Bible, Hannah was depressed because she couldn't have a baby. She stopped eating. The not eating came after the grief. The not eating was evidence of what was going on in her heart. A lot of times we do the outward, but we don't do the inward. We have to focus on the inward. That's the point. Okay? So when we give these stuff up, the real point is to focus on the inward, not the outward. So don't argue about the outward. Get focused on letting God do something in your heart. The reason we have trials in our life, why? Because God's getting them to our heart. Oh, why am I going through this? Oh, because right now you're crying. That's exactly what God wants. He wants to get to your heart. How come God won't do this for me? Oh, because you're a little selfish right now. He wants to get to your heart. It's not whether you're sick. It's not whether you don't have money. It's not whether you don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or wife. It's your heart that he's talking about. That's what he's trying to get to. He's trying to prick your heart. He's trying to get your attention. And so these next 6 weeks, hey, let's collectively say, okay, let's afflict our soul. Now, some of you may say, and this is a little I put in here, some of you may say, well, when you fast, you shouldn't tell anybody. That's not true. Many times in the Bible, they had the whole nation fasted. And I put two up here for you at the very top of your page. One, Esther. You can write down there, they fasted for favor with the king. Favor with the king. Favor with the king. Esther was going to go before the king and ask the king not to have the Jews annihilated. And she asked the Jews to fast for her so she would have courage to get favor from the king. Everybody fast. This is not a private thing. Please, I need everybody praying. The next one was Jonah. Write down forgiveness from God. Forgiveness from God. Jonah went to Nineveh and preached hellfire and brimstone. And the king said, we are all. As a matter of fact, you know what the king said? Even the animals are going fast. That brother was scared. All the little bugs, I don't want the roaches eating my crumbs. Nobody's eating today. That's what he said. Even the animals. He says, I don't want anybody's animal eating. That brother was scared. And guess what God did? To Nineveh, he forgave them. Was it what was it that they didn't eat? No, the not eating was symbolic of the true repentance they had. That's what it was all about. The repentance. The repentance. Okay, let's go to Daniel chapter 1. We'll get to our story real quick because that was just the introduction. In Daniel, 605 years before Christ, Nebuchadnezzar raided Jerusalem and kidnapped the people, took over the city. And four of the people he took, well, one of the people he kidnapped was a teenager named Daniel and his three friends, whose names got changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That wasn't their Hebrew names. That were their Babylonian names. And when they were kidnapped, Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you to find all the young, intelligent, gifted boys, men of noble character, able to understand and learn, and train them for 3 years so they could be my flunkies. Give them Chaldean food, Chaldean wine, Chaldean literature. Brainwash them of their old or of their God and their religion. And put our culture and custom in their mind. That's what the world wants you to do. The world wants you to be a United States Christian and not a Bible Christian. Two different things, y'all. United States Christian says, well, there's many gods and we have a free society and we all lead to the same God. That is not true. That is not true. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody, no matter what religion you're in, goes to the Father except you come through me. There are religions and beliefs that say Christ is not the Savior. He's just a prophet, a teacher, a role model. They are false religions. But the king, Satan, would love for you to just be like everybody else. Be tolerant. No, Christ is not tolerant. That's why people will go to hell. So what they were doing to Daniel, just be like everybody else. Daniel said, we're going to see in a minute. No, I'm not going to be like everybody else. So look, let's read verse 5. Verse 5, chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 5, chapter 1, the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's delicacies. Everybody say king's delicacies. One more time, say king's delicacies. He appointed them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, of the wine which he drank, the 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time that they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And to them the chief of eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Change their names. In your handout, I want you to write this, please. Why fast? Why should we give up all these things? It says we are too easily distracted with, and write down, the king's delicacies. Ooh, what's your delicacy?
Well, I like money. Well, I like being in shape. Well, I like nice houses. I like sex. I like chocolate. I like going out to eat. I like whatever it is you like.
Whatever it is you worship. Let's write a few down in these boxes. Write down. Food is an example. Food, sex is an example. Drugs, gossip. And next to gossip, just write a fifth one, because I just want to. Our kids. What does that mean? You can worship your kids. You can worship your family too much. What does that mean? You put them before God. Now, I'm going to make fun of moms, okay? But I'm telling you now that I'm going to make fun of moms, but I'm exaggerating, okay? Are we straight? So my wife's here, so this is going to apply to her too. So I got to cover myself so I don't get it when I get home. So I'm going to make fun of moms, but I'm exaggerating. Little Johnny goes out to school. And it's a little chilly. Oh, Johnny, he has 5 sweaters. Oh, Johnny. It's a little rainy. Oh, Johnny, let me walk to school and I'll cover your head, Johnny. Oh, no. Oh, he got to sit in the front row. Oh, Mr. Teacher, please be good to Johnny. Johnny falls down. Oh, Johnny, let me get your knee. Leave Johnny alone. I'm exaggerating. Son falls down. He's crying. Mom runs over. Mom, come back here. Leave him. Let him cry. Now, am I really saying that? No. But baseball games, football games, especially a football game, and this is now it's going to get personal. My wife, you know, she said, hey, if he gets hurt, I'm running out in the field. I said, Debbie, you are not running out on that field. He will lay there as long as he needs to. Then he will get up, and he will be okay. He really will. What is my point? Let me tell you something. Anything that you worship and give more attention and more devotion than God is idolatry. Underneath those boxes, I'm going to give you 4 words. Because these are the real deal. Write down under the first box, on the first line where you wrote food, write down, I know there's not a line there, just in that space, write selfishness. These are the king's delicacies. Underneath the sex, or the second line, whatever you wrote in there, write greed. These don't necessarily correspond to the things up above. I'm about to explain to you in a minute. Third one, write pride. And the fourth one, right, idolatry. Sorry, I didn't give you lines down there, but I didn't think about this till this morning. Why did I write those things? Because watch this. Here's what the devil wants you to think. Well, if I just don't eat food, I'm being spiritual. If I just don't smoke weed, I'm being spiritual. If I give up a day of spending or going shopping, I'm spiritual. No, you're not. Unless you're dealing with the bottom row. Because let me tell you something. The devil wants us to be distracted with the physical when God's looking at our heart. Just like we read in Isaiah. Oh, I see you're not eating, but your heart's still filthy. I see you gave up the Frappuccino for the week, but you're over there eating 5 Snicker bar every day. So what the devil told Jesus, what did he tell him? in the desert. Devil told Jesus this. Jesus, if you worship me, idolatry, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. That's exactly what he's telling you and me. If you worship me, I'll give you that car. If you worship me, I'll give you that figure. If you worship me, I'll give you that fun. So what we do in the physical, but really it's a symbol of our spiritual commitment, our spiritual loyalty. And what I'm telling you is that all the things in the seen world that I'm talking about, the devil can use to draw us away from worshiping God, because God has called us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. That's what he calls us to do. He's called us to crucify our flesh, not train our flesh. Your flesh can't be trained. It needs to be killed. Can't be. Has to be crucified. That's why he used that word, crucified. So the focus is, you could say, well, I'm not going to eat food. I'll take a week off from having sex. I won't do drugs, whatever it is. No. What you need to do is you need to take that out of your life and replace it with something that's going to purify the bottom row. You need to take your pride and say, Lord, here's my pride. Here's my ego. Here's my this. What Daniel said, verse 8. Look at verse 8. The Bible says in verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear the Lord, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces look worse than those men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over him, over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let us give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then our appearance be examined before you in the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. In your handout, write, fasting has physical benefits. Oh, yeah, fasting has physical benefits. The Bible says bodily exercise profits little. Yes, if you fast and you watch your diet and you watch what you eat, you will have physical benefits. Some of you are going to have headaches this week because you're going to stop drinking coffee. And if you have a headache because you're not drinking coffee, I don't think that that's a sign from God you need to start drinking coffee. I think that it is a symptom of withdrawal. That's what it is. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where God mandates if you don't drink coffee, that you should drink coffee and that you're going to get a headache if you don't. It's punishment. No, it's you are withdrawing. I would tell you, you need to check that out. Why am I having headaches? Physically, what is it that I am addicted to? Obviously, caffeine. I would think that that would be something you should be concerned about. Not that you're going to die and not that you're going to. But you know what? Spiritually, you didn't even realize it. And God is saying, you think you can give that up for me? In other words, God might have you out in the woods or have you go someplace to serve him and you can't get to your fix. And therefore, you are rendered useless to God because you are headache and grumpy because you can't get your fix. I would think that would be a problem with God. Not a problem, but I'd be like, God, I'd be like, man, you're useless, man. I got to get you caffeine to make you functional for me. All you should need is prayer in the Bible. You can't be around. You think Rambo had to have coffee every day? He's on the ground. Oh, man, I need coffee. Dudes are shooting at him. Hold up, y'all. Hold up. I gotta get my cream and sugar. Okay, I'm ready. Write down, fasting has physical benefits because it cleanses the body. Yeah, it does. There's a whole bunch of medicinal benefits of fasting, but that's not why we're doing it. You saw it here where Daniel started looking good because he wasn't poisoning his body. He was cleansing his body. Number two, it says fasting has social benefits. social benefits because it secures favor with God and man. Verse 16. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four men, God gave, look at what it says, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all vision and dreams. Now at the end of the days when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them into before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. You know what the Bible says? If God is for you, who could be against you? If you say, Lord, you know what? I have these habits. And this week it's sweets and coffee, right? I have these habits. And you know, God, because I want to make sure that you and I are straight, because I want to make sure there's nothing between me and you, I'm going to give this up because I want to seek your face with no distraction. That's what we're talking about. So you give that up and you seek God's face with no distraction. And guess what? God said, that's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. I was talking to a friend of mine, a very intense brother. And we were talking about being committed to the Lord. And I said, can you imagine what God could do if when he gets a hold of intense, hardworking, disciplined people? He has so much fun. I mean, there's some people who are just they have been gifted to do one thing. Some people have been gifted to do five things. Some people have been gifted to do 20 things. Some people have not only the gifts to do 20 things, but they have the intensity level to be able to do 20 things. They had the discipline to do them all well, and they had the endurance to do it for a long time. God says, man, if I can get dudes like that, I can have so much fun. You know why? Because I can give them all this work to do for me, and all they'll say is, yeah. They won't, oh, I don't know, God. Oh, it's going to be too hard, and how am I going to do it? And, oh. And when God says, you know what, if you can lay your life down so I can pour all my power, we can have so much fun. But you always got these excuses. Stop giving me excuses. You know what these dudes did? They laid their life down. You know what God says? Okay. Because you're going to lay your life down before me, I'm going to lift you up before man. It has social benefits. Back to your sheets. God's fasting has, and this is the most important, spiritual benefits. Ooh. Because it humbles the soul. What do trials do? Humble the soul. How do trials benefit? You grow closer to God if you draw near to him and choose not to complain. This is self-inflicted. Remember my nephew? Bam, bam. Hit his head on the sink and the door. And he was so happy. I hit my head on the sink and the door. Look at verse 17 to 20. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge. God gave them knowledge. What am I going to say again? One more time. God gave them knowledge. Where'd they get the knowledge from? Who gave them the knowledge? Where'd they get the knowledge from? Okay. God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And God gave, doesn't say this, but we know this is also true. God gave Daniel understanding in all visions and dreams. You know what? God tells you stuff you don't know. Don't go,
oh, I'm so smart. I just am so smart. I just study and read, and I am so intelligent, and I have so many, much education, and I just know so many big words, and, you know, I am just a man. No. You know, I know big words like elephant and whale and just big old words.
God gave you knowledge.
I like math. Love math. And a friend of mine, I know him since he was a little kid. Now he's a senior or junior at USC. He's a math major. I think math is one of his classes. So I was with him at Thanksgiving, and I started asking him what he learned, and he was telling me. And I said, can I see the book? Because I had no idea what he was talking about. I mean, I kind of was understanding it, but it was stuff I never had. And so I started reading the book. And I didn't like math anymore. I mean, it was out there, math. But even though I like math, and even though I understood math when I was in college, I had all the calculus, 2 years of calculus, whatever, how much calculus you could take. And then I went beyond that. There were other people who didn't like it and didn't understand it and never would understand it no matter how much they studied it. Anybody in here like that? Look at all y'all. It's just like, no, that is not something I'm ever going to know. Leave, go away. I'm the opposite. How do I have that ability? God. How do I not have any desire for literature, plays, and, you know, Shakespeare? God. No, that's just not me. Is it wrong? Is it bad? No. God just said, here's what you're going to be, and here's what you're going to be, and here's what you're going to be, all so you can work together to serve me, him, Jesus. That's why. So the Bible says, hey, look, he gave them. Look what it says in verse 18. At the end of the days when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and then the king interviewed them. And among them all, none was found, like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king, and listen to what this says, in all matters of wisdom and understanding. In all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. Why? Not because they were Christian. Don't think just because you're a Christian, you're going to be better than everybody else. This is what you need to believe. If you are a committed, faithful Christian, you will be the best you can be. That's what you need to know. If you are committed, give example. All you people who raise your hand, you can get on fire for God, and you can study math all you want. Guess what? There's going to be a heathen out there who's gifted in math who'll know better than you forever. I mean, just because you're a Christian and committed doesn't mean you're going to be better than everybody else. But here's what it does mean, and this is for sure. That if you lay your God-given talent, your God-designed talent, your God-designed purpose, and you lay it before God, and you separate yourself from the things of the flesh, which is what this is all about, and you say, God, create in me a clean heart. Show me exactly why you created me. You do that, you will become the most efficient and effective tool in the hand of God that you can be. That's got to be, when you go to bed at night, that God would say, well done, good and faithful servant, you did a great job today. Well done. Oh, that's all I want to hear from God. That's all I want. God, thank you. Whether there's 4,000, 1,000, 20,000 people in the church, if I can go to bed and God can say you did the best you can, you did what I told you to do, that's all I'm required to do. Everything else is up to God. I can only do my best. That's what these guys did. Turn your worksheet over. 3 things you need to decide before you leave here today. 1, write down decide, you need to decide that you will fast. Only you can make that decision. I am not forcing you.
I am not telling you what to do.
I'm telling you what you need to do at some point in your life. You need to decide to, you real fast and write down in parentheses, afflict your soul. This is not about not eating. It's not about not having sugar. Some of you may say, you know what? I don't have sugar. I don't have caffeine. This week, I'm going to give up meat. Just afflict your soul. And write down the next bottom line, if you choose, let me say it so I don't trick you into it. Yes, I am going to afflict my soul. Don't do it if you don't want to. I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying to force you. I'm not trying to manipulate you. If I was, I would say something like, if you don't do it, you're not going to be blessed. But I'm not going to say that. Number B, write down, decide what you will fast. Decide what you will fast. And you can read those verses. And write down, I am going to abstain from. And then for now, just write one thing down. Coffee, caffeine, sugar. I put syrup in my oatmeal every day. I don't put sugar, I put syrup. So that may be one of the things I'm going to do. I'm not going to put, oh, I eat raisins because they're sweet, they're like candy. So I'm just going to eat blasé oatmeal all week, every day. And you know what? Big deal. Let's look at verse 8 real quick of Daniel 1. And this has to do with A, deciding that you're going to fast just so you can see what Daniel did. You know what Daniel said in verse 8? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's portion. You know what? Just purpose in your heart. It's all about what's in your heart. You know what, God? It's about me and you. Purpose in my heart. Okay? Verse 12 and 16, they wanted to fast 10 days. We read that. And number C, write down this. Decide what change you want to experience. Ooh. What do you want God to do in your life?
I just want to survive the week.
No.
I just want to get over the headaches.
No. Lord, look at these fasting goals. I'm going to give you 7. I think there's 7 there, but there's a million you could write down. I'll just give you these real quick. 1, write down that the oppressed would be set free. Not only in your life, but that God would use you to set somebody free. The oppressed. You could read Isaiah 5-7. Write down in B that you would gain spiritual power. That's not one thing you can pray for. A little demon-possessed boy, they couldn't cast out the demon. Jesus said, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Hey, God, give me power. You might be scared. What would happen if you start getting power? Write down, for help in time of mourning or grieving. When Saul was buried, they fasted. And then many times through the Bible, fasting was a funeral ritual where they would mourn and grieve and not eat. D, ministry preparation. You're getting in ministry, you're in ministry, you're starting a ministry. Lord, I want to fast and pray to prepare for that. E, prepare for spiritual battle. When Jesus was also starting his ministry, he went 40 days and 40 nights. But what happened during that time? He fought the devil. I mean, what a great reason to fast and pray. Lord, I don't want to be any distraction between me and you because I want all that you can give me because I got to deal with the devil. Amen? Number F, write down letter F, answered prayer. Lord, I need answers. I'm confused about stuff. I need direction, wisdom. I need you to supernaturally move. And G, supernatural revelation. Moses on the mountain.
fasted 40 days and 40 nights, God gave him the law. Lord, I'm going to fast 40 days or whatever it is this week, and I want supernatural revelation. Here's my challenge to you. This week is caffeine, sweets, treats, if you will. And next week, this week is going to be treats, and I'm warming you up because next Sunday, we're going to continue talking about this. We're going to talk about a whole meal. Now, some of you all, will decide to fast all meals for the whole week next week. That's okay. If you want to do that, that's fine. Remember, we are afflicting our soul so we can seek God. Amen? Lord, we thank you. Lord, I pray you raise up spiritual Rambos. And I was watching Rambo yesterday. He went in enemy territory to set captives free. Lord, that's exactly what we're about. We want to pray spiritually oppressed people out of oppression, spiritually blinded people out of blindness, spiritually weak people out of weakness. Lord, we want to be used to go into the enemy's camp and set people free. We cannot do that with physical weapons. We cannot do that being spiritually weak or undisciplined. We cannot do that holding on to our fleshly desires. Lord, purify our hearts. Give us crystal clear focus. And Lord, I rebuke Satan as he's going to give people all these reasons to not do it. Lord, open our eyes up to that silly game. Let us not fall prey to that silly game. Teach us to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow you. You tell us we can't follow you unless we deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow you. Thank you for making your message so clear. I pray you bless us this week, and I pray it to be a life-changing experience. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand up and sing a song, and I'll see you next week.